I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a Mary, the sweetheart.
For goodness sake, Beth, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a Mary, the sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy Wednesday. It's 2 o'clock on a Wednesday. You're like halfway done with the week, right? This is pretty much the time where you've made it to the midpoint.
Yeah.
This is the hump and hump day.
Basically vacation now. Like, you're basically just coasting from here.
That's how we think of it here on the Annie Fry Show. Everything from here, we're just winging. It's probably going to suck. Which is when you should stick around, because when we're winging things is when it gets off the rails.
That's the most fun.
Uh-huh. Yeah, for sure. Ryan Wiggins isn't here. He let us know that he took the day off to reflect on having a great Monday and Tuesday. Literally what he texted. Texted you?
Yep, that was word for word. Just wanted to tell the people.
He said if anyone asks.
If anyone asks.
But nobody asked.
Nobody has asked.
But he still told us.
If anyone asks, I'm taking time off today to reflect on the success of Monday and Tuesday.
Nobody asked, but that was so ridiculous we had to share it.
It's amazing. He'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah. He will come back very mentally healthy.
Yes.
From today's
well day. Rested.
Yeah. We were talking a little bit about vaccine incentives. Cause it's the county that came out with the incentive is from the county, right? $100 gift card to Schnucks plus a $50 gift card to QT paid by federal dollars from the CARES Act. And they're only 5,000 gift cards. So like I said, hurry, hurry, hurry. It spurred into a conversation about the different incentives that we've seen and heard over the course of get the vaccine, get the vaccine, get the vaccine, and the Krispy Kreme donut thing, and how people wanted to criticize Krispy Kreme donuts for offering free donuts for getting the vaccine. What else is Krispy Kreme going to offer people to, like, you know, everybody put your hands in the middle and celebrate this vaccine that the Trump administration got approved? What's Krispy Kreme supposed to do? Donuts are not bad. Donuts are not inherently evil things. If you abuse donuts, that's a you thing. It's the same conversation as gun control. Guns don't kill people. If somebody doesn't pick them up and make a bad decision, if it's not self-defense. The gun is the inanimate object, and the human that employs said gun is what we need to factor into, is this a good situation or a bad situation? The donuts at Krispy Kreme and the incentives. Like, you're not going to go through a Krispy Kreme drive-thru and be like, well, it's a COVID incentive, so here's your salad with ranch. That's not what Krispy Kreme is going to give out. And when we went to a break, Brad said, he goes, that's what we're missing is personal accountability. That's really what it comes down to. Where do we have personal accountability anymore?
Where do we have personal accountability? Nowhere. Everywhere there's always something. Whenever I drove a school bus, It was always, that's not my kid. That's not my kid's fault. It's, you know, it's like, well, we have the camera and
this is what happened.
This is your kid, right? On the camera? Yes. But my kid wouldn't do that. Okay. Well, he wouldn't have done that unless somebody else did something. So it was like that on the bus, is like that in the classroom. It's like that at church. It's not my fault that I'm upset. It's your fault I'm upset. And it's like, well, I don't know that that's always the case.
I wonder where, was there a drastic turning point where we dropped the idea of having to be personally responsible for our actions, for ourselves? Because, you know, if I got in trouble at school, I was the most afraid of going home and getting in trouble at home. That was gut-wrenching. Spend the rest of the day. Yeah. And it didn't happen very often. I was a very good child. But even, you know, the disrespect, if there was ever disrespect or alleged disrespect or anything like that, if the, just the idea of having to go home and deal with that kept me on the straight and narrow. It doesn't seem like that's really the case as much, or at least it's not the standard. But the other thing here, I think, that is so interesting about our culture right now is the way that victimhood is used. We have, you know, many instances, bullying and, you know, body shaming and the culture that exists around an alternative lifestyle to the hetero, I don't even know, the cis heteronormative male. Did I say that right?
I think so.
You did better than I could have.
Well, I pay attention to this stuff because I want to understand it. And if I'm going to have conversations about it, I feel as though I should be educated on what's out there. But we get to the point where it's trendy to be the victim. So we create a collective victim. There are different kinds of people that get to be part of the victim. And it's like a capital V victim. And everybody who gets to be approved into said victimhood gets to scratch each other's back and then push back against the victimizer. But who is the victimizer? It's just this, like, it's an ideology. And one person's individual actions towards another don't really matter. If you're part of the victimhood, you get to get away with victimizing other people. If you get to be, if you're part of an approved victimized group, you get to behave in a way that could potentially victimize other people, but you get away with it because it's trendy to be a victim.
This is leading to a lot of confusion. I know in middle schools that there are a lot of children right now that are wanting to fall into this category, that otherness category, and then thus identifying as transgender or as part of the LGBT group, because it's almost like it's cool to be on in that fringe. And parents are having to, and I've seen parents handle it two different ways. And I'm actually going to use this in our, I have a friend who, but they're either encouraging it or not talking about it because of the rest of society, maybe. But the ones that are encouraging it, you've got kids that are anywhere from 8 to 12 that are identifying and switching names and feeling like that. And it kind of seems to me, at least from an outside perspective, that it is to do it to fit into a group as opposed to actually like how you're feeling or how you're actually identifying.
Yeah. I'll tell you that I have a 5-year-old right now who wants to be Captain Marvel.
Right.
Today. And then tomorrow she wants to be a Disney princess. Mm-hmm. And then the next day she wants to be a baseball player. That's fine. She's being imaginative. All of those conversations about big issues like that, in many cases, those kids are being exposed to these different things from various places. That requires difficult but important conversations to happen in the home.
Yeah, and I don't think that they're happening in a lot of cases. I think that people are scared to have those conversations because of the way the rest of society is positioned, that bullying versus bullied.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I see this a lot with fashion and fashion models. It used to be the idea that showing, I will call them mid, I'm not going to call anybody normal or abnormal. I'm not using those words because normal is very subjective. But if you are looking for a swimsuit or if you're looking for a pair of jeans and you're female and you're seeing person after person after person wearing size zero jeans, that doesn't reflect the majority of women who would be shopping for said jeans. My favorite is Spanx. For men who don't know what Spanx are, that's what goes under to make the outside look smooth and not roly-poly. The more kids you have, the more Spanx you need. I'll just put it to you that way. If I did a handstand, everything would look normal. Don't spin it in the microphone. Oh my gosh. Sorry, Brad. Welcome to the show. I get Spanx ads in my Facebook feed, and they're all women with like a thigh gap, and they're all wearing like
they don't need Spanx.
Red pants. And I'm like, you don't need Spanx. I need those three pairs of them so that I can get into my regular jeans. Like, this is not the type of person who I need to look at on to see Spanx and go, oh, these are for me. But because of industry and the counterculture way that fashion tends to lead, they have now gone into a situation where that woman can't be in those ads anymore. And the other extreme is what we see all the time in these ads. And it's like the person who's the size 8, 10, 12, 14, 16 just got skipped right over.
Yeah. The people, the majority of the shoppers are still not being acknowledged here.
And why is that? Because the fashion industry is pandering. Because they want virtue. They think that if they now get away from the evil size zero, size two, size four, and they're not evil, they're just skinny. I mean, I'm kind of mad at them, but, you know, it's a personal thing. They're not, they didn't do anything wrong. They think that if they go to this other side, they're not doing it because they've broadened their horizons and they're trying to embrace what, you know, that word normal that I don't want to use. They're selling virtue to people. If I show this kind of person, then I will look like a good person. Mm-hmm. That's not being a good person. Joe Biden said in his, I think it was a town hall, and it might have been Anderson Cooper, it might have been Jake Tapper. I can go back and find it. But he brought up to this town hall about how many advertisements you see with biracial couples and minorities in them. There was a Joe Biden point. And when Joe Biden brought that up in there, I was like, oh, really? And I started paying attention to it. It's absolutely the case. Mm-hmm. And Joe Biden was saying and claiming credit for, again, shining the virtue on himself, that we've come so far that now we can have biracial couples in commercials. They're selling you something. They're selling you a feeling that you get, a warm fuzzy that you get when a company selling AA batteries shows a biracial couple putting them in their Walkman. Do people have Walkmans anymore?
No.
I'm surprised that Walkmans have not come back with the mom jeans.
And the fanny packs.
And the fanny packs.
Yeah.
You guys look ridiculous. And we looked ridiculous in the 90s, which makes you look even more ridiculous now. And just because you're young and fit, you get to wear whatever you want. And you look cute looking ridiculous. Isn't that the way it goes?
Yep.
When I was in high school, middle school and high school, mostly middle school, bell bottoms.
Oh, yeah.
Came back. It's like the mid-90s.
Yep.
And I remember that.
I remember my parents. My parents were like, why are you doing this? This is a really bad idea. Learn from our mistakes. And super straight hair. I mean, like, you Alanis Morissette was just in town. Alanis Morissette's hair in the mid-90s. We had gone through that 20 years earlier in the 70s and the 60s. Super long straight hair. We're back there again. It cycles around.
Yeah.
But when you see these types of things from an ad company, from somebody who is selling you something, they are selling you the feeling you get when you see their product, and they're using this idea of togetherness and acceptance and you know, creating a new normal among ourselves and a like person-to-person acceptance. They're trying to sell that to you so you feel good about yourself. It's not virtuous. It's just capitalism. Mm-hmm. It's not inherently bad, but it's also doesn't make them inherently good. what do we have out there right now that shows people being inherently good? Going back to personal responsibility and accountability. What do we have out there that is showing us right now that we need to be personally responsible, own our mistakes, be proud of our successes? The only thing that I can think that should be consistently and probably is consistently pushing this is the church. Mm-hmm. Everything else is working against it.
And we're not doing a great job of it.
That's true.
It's unfortunate. And it's one of the things that burdens my heart as a minister is we as the church tend to be a lot more like the world than we are like Christ. And mm-hmm. that bothers me a lot.
Having been involved in church leadership in the past and having that experience of seeing the brokenness that exists in church, I always say we have the best sinners.
Mm-hmm.
And if you lose sight of that, things go awry very quickly. I've experienced that personally in my life and have removed myself from that situation. But I mean, I hesitate to go back into it. It just seems to me like the absence of personal responsibility, if we were to bring that back, if we were to bring back the kindness that we actually treat one another because of who they are on the inside and not what they look on the outside and how associating with those individuals, you can't accessorize yourself with other human souls. We have to treat each other kindly and we have to be okay with owning our mistakes and not always looking to be a part of that capital V victimhood that exists out there that other people are taking advantage of and manipulating us. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to do I Got a Friend Who. If you want to be our friend, if you want us to tell a story and you want us to get a ruling or weigh in on your situation, hurry up, go like the Facebook page and send us a message on the Facebook page, and we might include you in our I Got a Friend segment. We'll be right back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Appreciate you being here. If you missed Eric Schmidt on with us at 1 o'clock, if you're on the Odyssey app, you can just rewind to 1 o'clock and listen to that interview with Missouri's Attorney General. Or you can subscribe to the Annie Fry Show podcasts on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from. Just type in Annie Fry, F-R-E-Y, and subscribe. We would love to add you to our crew. So we came up with this new segment, and it's called I Got a Friend.
Okay, so I got this friend who is definitely not me.
So we tell stories. Maybe they're about us. Maybe they're about legitimate friends. Maybe it's something that we experienced. And then we weigh in on them amongst ourselves, and we read your comments as well if you're sharing them with us on our Facebook or YouTube Live, also on Twitch right now. And so I have a friend who has some kids in grade school, and they get good grades. The kids get good grades. But the older they've gotten, the closer the A's have maybe sometimes gotten closer to being B's. Mm-hmm. And my friend really wants them to get straight A's because they think that they are straight A students. My question is, if you get into that middle school range or junior high range, or maybe you're pushing into high school and your friend's child is maybe getting a B here and getting a B there, If you think that they're capable of getting A's, should you push them based on that percentage, that grade? Is the grade what's important? Is getting a B a big deal? What do you think?
I don't know. My grandma always used to say beads add character. So, like, I would get mostly A's, and then I'd get a B in there. And when I was young, especially, I'd be like, oh, I didn't. Yeah, just like, that's okay. That adds character. Uh-huh. So I'm a big fan of a B every once in a while.
And in college, C's get degrees.
Yeah.
I love your grandma, by the way.
Right?
She's awesome.
She's the best.
Just from that statement, I can tell.
So, just so if you were, what if you got a C here and there?
That was a different story, but I was raised in such a way that that my expectations on myself, I was not happy with that. My parents, so I remember when I was younger having to have a couple of conversations with, like, with that D and F range where I just, like, I forgot an assignment mm-hmm. or bombed something, and there were consequences when I was young for bringing home those types of grades. So by the time I was getting older, anything in the C range was just not acceptable to me.
To you.
Right.
So if the kid is a straight A student, and let's say they get into high school, the classes get more difficult, Brad, and maybe they haven't had to apply themselves as much as they are going to need in high school, so they got to learn that lesson, they get their midterm, they have a mid to high B in one class and the rest are A's. Should my friend pressure their student to get that grade up to an A?
I think rather than pressure your student to get the grade up to an A, your friend should pressure your student to achieve their ultimate ability, get to where they can get, you know. And if your friend watches and pays enough attention, because your friend sounds like an engaged parent, and they see my child is giving 110% on this, they're putting everything.
What if it's like an 88%?
Enough. Yeah. They're
putting forth the effort. They're doing what they need to do. They're doing all the assignments. They're studying. They're adding all that. And then it comes out and it's like, oh, you got an 88.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're happy for them because that's the best that they can do. And they achieved their max potential.
I wonder, because the way grades fit into the culture now, it's a separation of people. Like, there are people who get straight A's with one B and they're underachieving. And there are people who get C's and D's, but you didn't get any F's and you actually got a B. Mm-hmm. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. It seems like we don't live in the day and age where you should be pushing a kid to get straight A's because the A shouldn't be everything. But I still kind of think if the kid's capable of getting an A, she should push him to get an A.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's it, right? I mean, you both just hit on it. Is this kid trying hard enough? Is this kid meeting the expectations that for themselves and for the family, or is there something lacking in development? Like, and when you're raising a human, I assume you're like instilling these like importance of like applying mm-hmm. yourself things. So is the kid trying?
Yeah. Okay. You got any friends, Brad?
I do have a friend. I have a friend who on Twitter let out a premature snarky tweet about
that never happens.
Ruh-roh.
About
I have a lot of friends who do that.
Like, quote tweeted the director of the original Suicide Squad movie,
mm-hmm.
and the tweet was about making movies is a lot like going on deployment, and that's as far as my friend got in reading it. And then they sent their snarky tweet, and so. Upon further review, after getting blown up by this person, finding out that this director was actually a submariner.
Oh.
So was actually on deployment, not only on deployment in a submarine.
And comparing what he was doing now to what he actually did then, as opposed to just appropriating military service.
So my friend was like, there's no way this guy was actually in the military and thinks that. And so then he went back and looked at the tweet and found out that this guy was comparing the camaraderie. And then making a point that, hey, after we made the movie, we all got tattoos, and that's something that people do on deployment as well. What is the appropriate, you know, play for my friend who made that tweet?
Dump the gun a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit.
I don't know, Trisha, what do you think? It's Twitter.
I mean, it's Twitter, yeah. The tweet's gone now?
No, like my friend left the tweet up.
Okay.
I think that on Twitter, all it is ready, fire, aim. Is that the way you say that?
Ready, aim, fire.
No.
Ready, fire, aim.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, like when you get on your Twitter app on your phone, or if you're sitting in your computer and you pull Twitter up, all you're doing is looking to blow people up because mm-hmm. they're wrong and you're right about everything. So that's, I mean, and you've got to do it with some brevity.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be quick and mm-hmm. sharp. And so there's a ton of that that's going on. I still believe that America loves the comeback story just in general. And America is a very forgiving country when you get the thought leaders out of the way. So if you kind of do a mea culpa on that, I don't know. After you do something like that, you have to decide what you need for your soul. And then you have to do what that thing is. And then you have to let it go because Twitter's could spit you up and or chew you up and spit you out. So
Twitter gonna Twitter.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you're on Twitter. You know that's going to happen. But mm-hmm. I do think that I think that apologizing or saying I screwed this up is still very refreshing to see. We just don't see it very much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's simple. My bad. If he's going to leave it up.
Yeah. That was actually what my friend did. They issued an apology. And
how'd it go?
The responses were actually pretty positive to it. I mean, mostly one word responses, and that one word was respect.
Yeah.
And then that my friend also noticed too, and I noticed this when I was watching it too, that you could see like other people in the feed then be like, hey, no, this person apologized, you know, it's cool, let it go.
Yeah.
You know, they owned it. And that goes back to that personal accountability we were talking about. If you have personal accountability, life is going to be a lot better for you.
I bet your friend took a little more time to read the next tweets.
Oh, they definitely do.
I'm going to read that one more time. All right, Trisha, any friends?
I do.
Nope.
I have a friend who.
And we're going to break.
Right. Wrap it up. No, this is a little bit. This is definitely a friend, not me, because I'm going to talk about my friend with the daughter, but it's a little bit darker or a little messier. I don't know. I'll just say it. I have a friend whose daughter is 10,
mm-hmm.
and her daughter's close friend that she's had since preschool is a girl. And her parents have now asked my friend to identify her friend, who is also 10, as a boy. How do you handle that with your kiddos? Because you're talking about 10-year-olds.
Yeah. I think that when the parents are in, like what I would do with my kids, when the parents are involved and they're asking that, there is a, in my opinion, and I say this as a Christian and as somebody who tries and fails, but still tries to keep Christ at the center in our household. And I know that's not the case for everybody who's listening right now. To understand really complicated situations like that one in the context of our faith, to understand that, and this is on my Twitter profile, which is how you know it's really important to me. But I say I'm a Christian, which means I'm an admitted and forgiven sinner. So for me, being a Christian is not about feeling like my way of life is better than anybody else's. For me, being a Christian is just about saying I need something way better and way bigger than I am, because without it, I'm going to hell. It's really that simple, mm-hmm. which is where Jesus comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus did not walk the face of the earth in my opinion, and in my faith, Jesus did not walk the face of the earth to show me how to live my life. He did it because I'm a failure at living my life. And without it, that failure ends horribly. And in the context of that understanding that I am first and foremost an admitted and forgiven sinner, I have to show that kind of grace to other people, whether they're living their lives in the context of how I believe my faith dictates we should. And I fail at daily. The kindness that is required to be shown from me to other people is the only way that I feel like I'm ever going to have them be able to get to a place where we can have a conversation about things and potentially disagree and still love one another. And if that's the way I feel I need to live out my faith, then I need to teach my kids to do the same thing. And no version of showing my child in that moment how to hate somebody or to discriminate against somebody is ever going to make them understand Christ's love for them that they need to show for other people. So I think in that instance, I would have a conversation about my faith, our faith, and what that means for my child and for me. And then I would probably honor the parents' wishes and go along that way. But it requires a heavy lift for the parents to be able to have one conversation in their home about what's right and what's wrong, or, you know, in the context of any religious faith, and to be able to show how you treat people and how you absolutely don't treat people.
Is it too big of an ask for the parents, though? Like, is that a, because apparently this is a situation, is it appropriate for you to ask other people to have these tough conversations with their young children?
Well, the one thing I'll say as a parent who has a kid in middle school, a kid approaching middle school, and a kid in kindergarten and a newborn baby is, if it's not going to come from them, it's going to come from someone else. Life throws you these opportunities to have these conversations at home, and you are very, very lucky if you get to have them at home before you find out down the road that they happened somewhere else. So I think the hardest part about being a parent for me is knowing that the world is out there, and being on this side of innocence and being exposed to all of the things that can be thrown at them. And knowing I'm going to have to sit down with my child who's way too young to be learning about these things. Like, I don't want my children to be thinking about sexual relationships in any capacity. But they're going to see things. They're going to hear things. I can't protect them from them. They need to know that those conversations and those questions that they're going to have, because they're going to be exposed to this stuff, that I am the safest place for them, and that my husband is the safest place for them. And no matter how scared or uncomfortable or weird or different than something they've been exposed to, that we are the safe place for them to have that conversation, and that we have our beliefs and other families have their beliefs, and our beliefs and other people's beliefs are not going to be the same more often than not, and that we need to talk about it. But the way we treat one another is the way we always hope that people treat us in our own brokenness, where we live our lives a certain way, and that family's going, can you believe that the Fries said we should say, come Lord Jesus before breakfast or something? You know,
yeah.
Is it appropriate for them or not? I don't know that that even matters, because if not them, then it'll be the next people.
Yeah.
My thoughts on that, A, is it appropriate or not? You can't control what other people do. You can only control your reaction to it. Again, that personal accountability thing. You're responsible for your actions. And to your point, Annie, I think people forget that sin is sin, and everybody sins. So if everybody sins, then you can't really be, I'm better than you.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no room to hate somebody who sins, right? There's no room for that. So again, whatever your friend decides to do in that situation, it has to be done out of love.
Sure.
And that's my thing too. While I don't agree with the friend asking that of parents, I deal with that in love.
Yeah, I think that was the biggest thing, because my friend doesn't actually have an opinion on in any kind of religious sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's just another parent asking you to have a conversation with your child on their behalf, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, that's a tough spot to be in, and
yeah,
that's the world we live in.
Yeah, you can't undo those situations for your kids. And of course, if the child is in close proximity to this other child and it becomes an issue between the two of them,
mm-hmm.
then you make a different decision, because my job as a mother is always to protect my child. But if it doesn't affect their ability to play together and be around each other, the conversations that I have about my faith with my kid in my home are my business.
Sure.
And it's an opportunity to teach how to love other people in this world, because mm-hmm. we want the same from other people towards.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Interesting conversations there. If you ever want to be a part of our segment, I Got a Friend Who, please send a message to the Annie Fry Show Facebook page, or you can send an email to anniefryshow@gmail.com. And you can tell us your story, you know, of the stories that we just discussed there, you know, some parenting stories, some stories about some difficult issues. It's an easy way for us to discuss a topic that might be a little complicated to discuss and leave the people who are associated with it anonymous. Sometimes the stories that we tell here are going to be about ourselves. Sometimes they'll be about listeners. Sometimes they'll be about friends or family members of ours. But if you ever want to be a part of that, you can contact us, like I said, anniefryshow@gmail.com, or message the Facebook page after you like it. So, Brad, I was doing the math, and we actually looked at a calendar earlier, but the Cardinals are on a 10-game winning streak. Haven't done that since 2001.
Right.
And I said, have the Cardinals lost since Brad Range has been the executive producer of the Annie Fry Show? Almost.
Almost. Missed it by that much.
But still, there's some good juju going on here.
Just going to say juju.
Yeah?
That is some really good juju. Yes.
Are you watching them? Do you make time to watch the St. Louis Cardinals?
No.
Don't lie.
No, I don't. But I do care deeply. I do care about our team.
So, Brad, you emphatically watch the St. Louis Cardinals.
I love to watch the baseball games.
Yeah, guilty.
It actually eats up a significantly larger portion of my evening than I would like. It hadn't for a while there because they weren't good. And so you could just kind of turn it on in the background and just key in on key moments. But now everything is playoff baseball.
It's so good. And when it's fall now, I missed the opportunity. I heard Dave Murray say earlier, I think 2:21 p.m. was the official start of fall. So happy
we have
fall.
An exact time for
that. Dave Murray, of course, Dave Murray knows the time that fall begins.
Down to the second.
Yes. 2:21 and 32 seconds. So I'm happy Dave fall. Murray. Happy autumn. Happy birthday to my mother. Today is my mom's birthday. I could do the math.
Happy birthday, Mrs. Fry. Wait, it's not Mrs. Fry.
No.
Mrs. Rather.
This is somebody else, yeah. So Debbie's birthday is today, so happy birthday to you. And I wanted to tell folks about the Vitae Foundation event that I have coming up here that you can get tickets to. It is September 28th, and you can go to adsforlife.org and check out tickets there, because I'm going to MC it, which is not nearly as cool as Trey Gowdy being the keynote speaker.
Yeah, that is super cool.
I'm really excited about that. And then they're going to have another event in October 28th. And Jason Chaffetz is going to be at that.
Oh,
and I'm going to MC that one as well.
Well, that'll be cool, too.
I'm doing a lot of hosting these days, which is fun because, yes, it's work for me, but I'm getting to meet some cool people.
I think that's like one of the best parts of our business, though. And COVID really took that away for the past couple of years. So I think it's super cool that you're out there emceeing.
When I was at the governor's ball on Saturday, it was so I thought it would be more difficult to be at an event like that. I mean, I've gone to Florida. I've gone to Disney World. I've been in places with a lot of people since COVID started. But that has continued on. But big events like a governor's ball haven't continued on. So it was exciting to be able to go be a part of that. And it occurred to me after the fact how natural and normal it felt. It was. I always kind of thought, oh, it's going to be kind of hard to like inch back into this social world. But we need to be having parties. Is that terrible for the Annie Fry Show to be saying right now,
no,
still in a pandemic?
No.
What if we incentivize things?
It's time.
It is.
It's time.
Playoff baseball, that place needs to be full to the brim with people jumping up and down and hugging each other when we win games.
Did you see the letter from Adam Wainwright to the fans?
Yes.
And he was like, we need this, and this is what we've been missing?
So they have the Cardinals are for the last homestand? I think it's the one against the Cubs, maybe?
Yeah.
They've got discounted tickets, but I think $1 of each ticket's going to his charity, Big Impact.
Okay.
And so I think that's why he was involved. But have you gone to any concerts, Tricia? Have you been back in the mix, feeling normal yet?
I've actually gone to a couple of Cardinals games, but I have not been to a concert yet.
I think concerts are a little more intense than... And I went to the Need to Breathe concert, and that was wonderful.
I'd like to. It's not that I'm avoiding concerts. I just haven't made it quite yet.
Brad, have you done anything that is particularly non-COVID?
The two baseball games.
Centric?
Yeah. The two baseball games, and I guess would going to church on Sunday be that?
For some people,
Every Sunday. Yeah. I mean, I didn't miss a Sunday. But our church wasn't necessarily open. I was helping behind the scenes, making the videos and stuff work. But yeah.
I had well-timed YouTube church with being pregnant. Because I still went, but I just turned the TV on in my bedroom. And when church opened back up again, I just didn't. Gosh, pregnancy is super hard on me. And I didn't want to be wearing a mask and having a difficult time breathing to begin with, and then wearing the mask and then trying to sing, wearing a mask, being pregnant. So I just would stay at home and my family would still go. But now I get to go back to church with them, and that's exciting as well. I'm just ready. I'm ready for more fun and more parties. And maybe we can twist some people's arms and try to put something together for the Annie Fry Show. Do you know anybody I can ask, Tricia? Can I ask you?
Sure.
You plan the Annie Fry Show party.
You plan my wedding.
Done. That's what's going to happen. And I'll put Brad in charge of something like, what do you want to be in charge of?
I have no idea. I've never done it. I'm excited about
it. The sound.
Though.
Yeah,
he could be the DJ. Fair.
DJ Brad.
DJ Brad.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.